Fantasy Freaks and Geeks, what is up? You're listening to NFL Fantasy Live podcast. James Coe here, Alex Gilhar, the man with the master plan behind the glass. MG, my guy, Marcus Grant as well, and the Hall of Famer, Mr. Michael Fabiano. What's up?
What's up, man? How about that Freeman kid? That kid pretty good.
Pretty good there.
Larry David would say he's pretty good.
That Devontae Freeman guy. What do you have? 156 total yards, 2 total touchdowns.
That's like ho hum for him.
I know.
Whatever.
And did you get a little nervous in the beginning of the game when Coleman was looking good and you're like, no, don't go back to a committee. Don't do it.
Oh my gosh. Coleman actually looked great.
Yeah.
For the 4 times he touched the ball until he fumbled.
Yeah.
See ya.
So my good friend Tristan H. Cockcroft had a great tweet yesterday. Since 1960, only Steve Young, Donovan McNabb, Peyton Manning, Larry Johnson, LaDainian Tomlinson, and Aaron Rodgers have had 4 games with 25-plus fantasy points in a season. Freeman now joins that list. A lot of good names there.
He's done all consecutively.
Cow.
Unreal.
That's amazing.
It's a good company.
Unbelievable. He is continuing his assault on the league, man. Devontae Freeman is just – and I love it, too, because he gets like a garbage time one as well. I mean, it's like it's not enough that you already – put up a dope stat line.
It was like in the third the third quarter, he had like 100 rushing yards and a touchdown, and I was tweeting from the fantasy, and I was like, well, there you go.
Yeah,
Freeman's getting it done again, and then he scores in garbage time. It's like, what? Okay.
All right, I'll take it.
Pretty awesome,
so
right?
So funny.
Pretty
31-21, your final score. All this talk of Devontae Freeman. It was the Saints who actually won this game. Ben Watson, anybody?
Yeah, I know.
Where did that come from?
Ben Watson, anybody?
Where did that come from?
I mean,
somehow YOLO streamed Ben Watson. You are the happiest person on the planet this Friday.
So here's a fun stat for you: 18.7 fantasy points last night,
man?
Right? He had 25.6 all of last year.
That's insane! Wow,
it's craziness. Ben Watson, 10 catches, 127 yards, and a touchdown. He had a long of a 28 as well. Drew Brees was just, needless to say, Drew Brees was looking for him all night. I overheard on the broadcast a great stat that Jimmy Graham, in all of his greatness, in all of his great years, he also, his max catches in one game was also 10. So Ben Watson matched that, but I mean,
Chris Wessling tweeted too that he's like, Ben Watson is only 70 some yards away
I believe it's 62 yards.
Oh, it's 62 yards away from matching Jimmy Graham's total on the year.
For the year.
Oh my.
And it was in one game.
Yeah.
It's funny too, because you know, you got to figure a lot of players or a lot of folks were playing a lot of Saints. And for a while there it was just Breeze and Watson. For a while. Ingram got a couple of short touchdowns. Which was good to see, and so he rewarded some owners there. But, again, if you played C.J. Spiller, he got nothing. Snead got 55 yards.
Hooks didn't do anything.
Hooks did nothing. I think a lot of folks might have streamed in Josh Hill, a good matchup, right, against the Falcons.
I could have.
He got nothing. So the Saints actually, you know, put up 31 points, and it was really only the Breeze owners and Ingram owners that paid dividends.
16 points. That's not great.
It's a great, yeah, you're right.
It's not great.
No, you're right.
That was about what I pegged him at. I think I pegged him at 17 or something like that.
But that's what we expect from him, not the 23, 24 points that he used to give us in the past. He has fewer than 17 fantasy points in all but one game this year. That's not good for Drew Brees.
No.
So there you go. Let's go over some other stats here. Matt Ryan, 295 yards, 2 total touchdowns, 2 passing touchdowns. He had a fumble turnover as well.
How many games do you think are going to be lost on that fumble at the end of the game, because that drops him down
2
from
points,
20 down to 18? And imagine if you're a Matt Ryan owner and you lose by a point this week or less than 2 points, you're like, oh no.
Yeah,
that
kind
fumble.
Of, you know, you got pretty solid production out of Matt Ryan.
Oh, he did, but I mean, when you lose a fumble like that at the end of the game, it could hurt.
Yeah, but it happened on Thursday, so I think they'll probably, fantasy owners will probably
blame you'll forget
it on, you'll, they'll
you'll,
blame
you'll
it
forgotten
on
about
Sunday.
It by then.
I had Matt Ryan, and I lost by 2 points or less, I won't forget.
No, because so many things will
drop that pass.
Yeah, exactly.
Or like,
so many things will happen between now.
Why did John Kuhn vulture another touchdown?
All I know is that game last night was kind of Matt Ryan in a nutshell, in that it wasn't great, it wasn't terrible. It just kind of was. It was meh, and that's kind of how I feel about Matt Ryan as a quarterback, as a fantasy quarterback. He's not, you know, he's kind of inoffensive. He's just there generally.
31-21 was your final score, but man, it felt like I mean, obviously, the Falcons really could have made a game of it. They really could have won this game.
Well, I mean, New Orleans could have ran away with it. They had all those turnovers in the first half, too. So it's kind of...
Good point. And that, you know, you never root for a player to fail. But when Coleman fumbled, I said to myself, he's not going to touch
the
ball again.
He's not coming back.
But he did come back, though.
One touch the rest of the game.
Well, I mean, he only got four touches total. So
I know, but how many touches did he have before he fumbled?
He only had three. That's my whole point.
But it was early in the game.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like
early in the game.
Like a first or second quarter. Yeah. It was early second quarter.
And he was looking good. You don't think that they were going to continue to utilize him? He was hot, man. He was running the ball real well.
They'll deploy him next week, probably.
Then he fumbled, and that was the end of him.
I think it'll be another four or five touches. I mean, at this point, it's been 2 weeks in a row now that he's had about five or fewer touches. I think this is Devontae Freeman's back.
And he's a dude that has some fumbling issues.
Yeah,
Ward came in and played more.
I had a fun tweet from the fantasy handle too, of Boo from Monsters Inc. crying and like reaching for something.
Oh, that was good. It was good
because so many people, myself included in one of the leagues, after Coleman seemed to have taken over the backfield, I was like, well, crap, I'll just drop Freeman and I'll pick somebody else up. Lo and behold, he's got 10 touchdowns. Thankfully, I held on to him in a couple other leagues, but man, does that hurt if you let him go and you're just watching him run roughshod over all of fantasy?
I want to see if, because I have him in our NFL Fantasy Live League, and I'm wondering, somebody dropped him, and I picked him up off waivers on September 23rd.
God, that might have been me in that league, too.
Oh. Yeah. So. Julio Jones had a quiet afternoon or quiet evening for much of the evening, then kind of picked up a little bit. Ended up with 93 yards. Devontae Freeman, as we talked about, just went crazy, 156 and two touchdowns. Leonard Hankerson, four catches for 37. Jacob Tammy had a huge game last week, followed that up with a little bit of a dud today, or last night, rather. It was 32 total yards for him. And then Roddy White.
He lives.
He lives. He caught a touchdown, 23 total yards.
I'm alive!
Yeah. And a touchdown for Mr. Rodinus White.
Give it up to the old guys for the last week or so. I mean, you know, it was Andre Johnson. You saw Frank Gore, Matt Hasselbeck getting involved. Now Roddy White.
This Chuck Woodson.
Chuck Woodson, too. Props to the old guys lately.
Old guys rule. I like it.
Yeah. How about Peyton Manning?
Well, okay, not all of them.
Not everybody. All right, so any other players or reactions you guys have to Thursday night?
No. Well, I think that proves that Drew Brees can have a really good game in reality and not a great game in fantasy. He was very effective last night.
Yeah, absolutely.
The football. But this is not the old Saints that we had come to know and love and scoring 30 points a game, and Brees is a guaranteed 20 points in fantasy every week. He's a matchup-based guy. And another thing, even when Mark Ingram has a bad game, and I don't even know that he averaged 3 yards a rush last night.
He looked bad.
He's the goal line back there, and that is very valuable.
All I know is watching him fall into the end zone twice made me feel good about my prediction of him getting 10 touchdowns this year.
Well,
there you go.
He fought hard on the goal line.
He did.
There's a reason he's the goal line back.
Sure.
Because he was trucking people and wouldn't give up, but nobody had much space to run in that game. So, because they lost their tackle. They were on their third string left tackle, so that's not a good situation.
Yeah.
Mark Ingram, 20 rushes for 46 yards.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's
pretty simple math.
It's not good.
Yeah. All right, but I did want to ask you about Brandon Cooks, though. You know, four receptions, 41 yards. I know he's fallen off. Where is he at this point? Can you play the guy?
No. No, I don't think you can.
I mean, even last week he caught a complete garbage time touchdown. If you took that away, he had nothing.
That was absolute definition of garbage time, because it was
double zeros.
There was zeros on the clock.
I mean, I'm not the only one who liked Cooks. I did like him, and obviously I was completely wrong in that. But you're right. I mean, Alex Flanagan tweeted me last night. We decided to start Cooks on our fantasy team. She has a team with her son. And
oops,
should I keep playing him? And I said, honestly, it depends on what your alternatives are. But right now, he's not doing a thing. Even when Drew Brees has a fantastic game in the real sense, he doesn't look for Cooks enough to make him a startable asset in fantasy. And I have him in a few leagues. And a couple of leagues I was forced to start him. They're PPR leagues, so
right. It
wasn't totally awful. But still, not what I was expecting from Brandon Cooks.
Look, I mean, I think at this point, you probably spent a fairly high draft pick on him.
Yeah,
fifth or sixth round, absolutely.
Let him go.
Higher.
Let him go. I mean, I think you could let him go. I think he'll sit on the waiver wire. I don't see anybody rushing because you can't really trade him. Who's going to take him at this point? But you can't play him on a week-to-week basis.
I would start Willie Snead every week over Brandon Cooks.
Yeah. Yeah, I absolutely
would. Without
a
doubt. You know? Willie Snead's the better receiver.
He's definitely – it seems like he has a better rapport with Drew Brees.
Yeah, and Harmon, you know, he does his reception. He did one on Willie Snead and said it was actually quite impressive. Like, Snead had a catch on every route in the tree and was able to get open everywhere.
Oh, boy.
Whereas somebody like Cooks is still a gadget player. He hasn't been able to beat press man. He can't get open on his intermediate routes and stuff as well. So, Snead's the way to go.
In a standard 10-team league, I can't see any scenario where you're playing Cooks. In a standard 10-team. If you have a 12 or 14 team, obviously you're kind of pressed into service there. I'm in a 14-team league, and we have three wide receivers.
Is this your team with the garbage running backs,
too? Oh, my gosh.
And you have Cooks, too?
Oh, my. I have – look, it's not a snake draft. It was a auction budget draft, and I invested heavily in Aaron Rodgers, Dez Bryant, and DeAndre Hopkins.
Okay.
And then I had Tevin Coleman. And so week one, I'm thinking, okay, I'm looking pretty good. Yeah, not so much.
That's rough.
Not so much. But yeah, no, Brandon Cooks is in there as well. But yeah, he's, you know, I'm kind of just pressed into service with him, unfortunately. 14 team, three wide receiver. I mean, I guess I don't mind it in a deep league where you're playing him as a wide receiver three because he's at least has upside. But yeah, in a standard 10 team, I can't see playing him, man.
No, I don't think you can.
All right, let's hit our top headlines.
The camera highlights in the world of sports.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Whistles go woo!
I like turtles.
We continue to follow breaking news.
Watch the news because I'm a kid.
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife.
I think the entire show is going to be headlines. We have a million headlines to get.
There's so many
headlines. In Pittsburgh, Ben Roethlisberger is practicing. Actually, a little bit ahead of schedule for Big Ben. If he starts, it's a long shot. It's probably not going to happen. But if he does, do you play him?
That's a tough matchup, but you're looking at four teams on a bye. You're looking at a couple of other quarterbacks who are not producing. I'd play him over Peyton Manning, I can tell you that right now.
Yeah.
But I don't know that this is actually going to happen. I think he's a week away.
Yeah, I think you're still looking at another week before he's actually back. But, you know, Ben seems to figure out a way to make things happen. And I know one thing, if you have Antonio Brown on your roster – you are praying for Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh, yeah. Please come back, Big Ben. All right, we move on to Baltimore. How about Justin Forsett? He's not practicing. It looks like it could be Javoris Buck Allen there for Baltimore. I guess what do we make of this injury news, and what do you guys think of Buck Allen?
Well, first, pro tip, everybody out there listening, don't search for Buck Allen on your waiver wire. Been seeing a lot of tweets of people confused. Like, why isn't Buck Allen in your game? I can't find him. His name is Javorius Allen.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Look for that with a J.
Just search for Allen.
Right?
You're not going to spell Javorius right on the first attempt.
It's J-A-V. That's how I just typed that in.
Right.
There's only one player that matches J-A-V.
So there you go.
So
if he does start, he's going to be a really nice DFS play. We have to see what happens with Forsett today in practice.
Sure.
If he's not practicing today. And I actually tweeted out yesterday, guys, go out and get Allen on your roster just in case.
Yeah, stash him a little bit.
Because the matchup is pretty good. And remember, Lorenzo Talaferro is out for the year.
Yeah.
So you're looking at Buck Allen as a big-time volume play against a kind of questionable defense.
And even if Forsett starts, there's a good chance they might rotate him.
They're not
going to want to risk him if he hasn't practiced all week. Like, you know, it'll be a situation like when Eddie Lacy first came back from his ankle. And it was about a 50-50 split, maybe even a little more in favor of James Starks in terms of touches. Like, that's probably what could happen here. So if you're in a deeper league or you need running back help, you could flex Javorius Allen even if Forsett's going to play.
The Ravens taking on the San Francisco 49ers. They're on the road. The 49ers have been a little bit of a mess. A little bit of the mess
that's
there
being kind.
In Santa Clara. But no, Buck Allen was extremely productive at USC. Marcus, give us a little scouting tip on Buck Allen.
I mean, he's a guy with good burst, a little bit of an upright runner, but catches the ball well out of the backfield. So I think he slides in nicely to Mark Trestman's offense. I mean, I watched him, was it last week or 2 weeks ago? He had one really big run, didn't do much beyond that. So, I think with a lot of opportunity, he could certainly produce, but I wouldn't expect him to just jump in and have four set numbers right away.
I'm extremely high on Buck Allen.
You have been all year long.
All year long. I saw him last year, or I've really seen him his entire collegiate career, and I really like the way he runs. He runs really hard. He runs extremely hard, but he's got, as you said, good hands out of the backfield. He seems like he's going to be a great fit for this Mark Trestman offense, and that's kind of why I was worried about Justin Forsett. Buck Allen just didn't get it going in the preseason. I do think, though, he's a volume guy. I mean, a lot of running backs are volume guys, but if he gets the touches, I think he's going to get stronger as the game goes on. And against this 49er defense that, you know, has not been terribly good, I can see Buck Allen having a pretty big line. If you've got him and Forsett's not playing, I would absolutely 100% play him. He's got RB2.
Locked in RB2 if Forsett's out?
Locked in RB2.
Even
locked
better. In RB2. Flex. I mean, if he comes in and plays, I'd play him if Forsett is out over Charcandrick West.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Ooh.
I'm with you.
I got to find a way to play both somehow. I don't know. Charcandrick's got, man, he's interesting to me, too.
I know, but Nile Davis, there's that threat.
I know. Yeah.
And with
no,
Buck,
right. No, you're right.
If there's no Forsett, there's no threat.
And there's that Andy Reid threat.
All right, let's move on. Let's go to Seattle. Marshawn Lynch, he says he's ready to go. I guess he says all the reports are that he's good to go. In fantasy, is he good to go? I mean, I'm assuming you got to play him.
Yeah, I mean, you got him. You're playing him.
Right, exactly.
I guess the hesitation comes in, right, because Thomas Rawls just came in and just crushed it last week. 170 yards or whatever it was for Thomas Rawls.
Yeah, don't forget he crossed the century mark twice in relief of
right, two times
Lynch.
In three games.
Yeah.
But also keep in mind, too, that Lynch is a guy that requires the football, that needs the football, that gets better as the game goes on.
Oh, yeah.
So unless he's not 100%, Pete Carroll is not going to make this some sort of backfield committee.
Right.
This is going to be Lynch's show.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I guess where there's two hesitations. Look, if I've got Marshawn Lynch, you're going to play him because, quite frankly, the running back position is just a dearth right now. There's so many buys. There's so many injuries. There's so much ineffectiveness out there. If you've got Marshawn, you got to play him. I get it. I'm just saying temper expectations because, look, I know they're playing at home. That's great for them. He's a little banged up. Thomas Rawls looks like he was pretty effective. I wouldn't be surprised if they mix him in. Plus, they're taking on the Panthers, man. It's not like the Panthers are a pushover defense here. So I think it's going to be a low-scoring affair, that Panthers-Seahawks game. As we saw in the playoffs, it was kind of difficult to watch at times. So, yeah, I mean, at least temper expectations here for Marshawn Lynch. If he gets you 10 to 12, I think you should be happy.
I mean, I think that's reasonable. This has the feeling to me, though, of a beast mode sort of game. I mean, it's two solid defenses, two
right?
teams that, you know, don't necessarily put up a ton of points on
no.
offense. I could see them grinding it out. Plus, I can see him catching a few passes because Russell Wilson's been running for his life back there. So
yep.
what better way to help relieve some of that pressure than dump it off to your running back?
Sir, I've been here the whole time.
Yes, indeed. Let's go to Buffalo. Rex Ryan says he's, quote, not comfortable saying Tyrod Taylor will start, despite the quarterback saying he's pretty confident he's going to go. What are the implications if he's out? I'm assuming this hurts. If he's out, Sammy Watkins is almost assuredly out of my lineup.
He might not even play regardless.
Yeah.
We're not sure he's going to be back. But I'll tell you something right now. My radar goes off. Cincinnati Bengals defense.
Yep.
Streaming
oh,
them against
God, yeah.
EJ Manuel, the human turnover.
Undoubtedly.
Hey, Kirk Cousins has something to say about that. But,
okay.
If Tyrod doesn't play, I'm not starting any Buffalo skill position players.
No.
You can't. Well, what about McCoy if he plays?
Nope.
Charles
I'm not
going
to
start McCoy either.
Not going to start McCoy. Not
Charles
starting
Clay?
Clay. Nope.
I mean, because if there's no Tyrod, then even if McCoy plays, they're just going to load the box.
It's a bad trickle-down effect.
They're going to throw eight, guys in the box and dare Shady to run.
Plus, the Bengals defense is good.
Speaking of, Shady McCoy says he's set to return. What do we make of that news?
It's encouraging.
It is encouraging.
It is.
He should be back
Carlos
soon.
Williams is out of the concussion protocol, is he not?
Did he clear it?
I don't know that he's cleared it yet.
Let me look.
I'm not sure.
I don't believe he's
cleared it. And I don't know that it would necessarily matter that much if McCoy is back. You're not going to start Williams regardless.
I mean, you could maybe flex him because what he
But you're just saying that you wouldn't play McCoy, but you would flex Carlos
Williams? Well, I'm saying in the future if they're both back. If E.J. Manuel's under center, I'm not starting anybody.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the last I saw, he did not pass the protocol, so
he's still in it as of Thursday. So maybe he clears it today. We don't know yet. It's
early morning.
Even
if he does today, which is Friday, I can't see him with no practice time.
Yeah, no.
It's tough.
Keep him out.
Yeah, I would say keep him out. LeSean McCoy could be in line, I guess, for high-volume work. I don't know. I don't know if I'd...
I don't know that you can...
Bench LeSean McCoy.
How deep does your backfield have to be for you to bench McCoy? You've got to be loaded. I mean, it's possible. It's certainly possible.
I just think with the high volume. I hear what you're saying, Gelhard, but I just think with the volume, it's hard to sit the guy.
I think if I'm looking at an RB3 type of guy, like a Danny Woodhead or one of those other, like... rotational decent backs on a better team and a better matchup, I'm going to start them over McCoy.
I mean, you've also survived how many weeks now with Shady McCoy in your lineup? So what's one more week?
What's one more week? There you go. All right, how about in Indianapolis? Andrew Luck says he's throwing around the media portion that was open to the media anyways. The reports are that he's throwing every ball, every route, so he should be good to go. Should be is the key word there. We're not exactly sure. The reports around his shoulder and the reports of whether or not he's going to play have been sketchy at best. I remember when he first got injured, there was basically the head coach Pagano basically coming out and saying, no, he's going to play. He'll be good. He's fine. Don't worry about it, guys. Don't worry. He's good. He's good to go. Didn't play.
Well, yeah. Coaches, they typically tell the truth, right, about everything?
I mean,
There are some coaches.
Especially to the media?
All the time.
I think there are some coaches that basically put up signals saying, hey, we're not sure, but not looking good.
Yeah.
There's no coaches that say, hey, he's just out, right? But, I mean, there are some coaches, like we're seeing with Pagano, like we're seeing with John Fox in Chicago, where you just, whatever's coming out of their mouth, you literally cannot take whatever they're saying and trust they're saying in regards to injury. So, Chuck Pagano has entered into that realm, unfortunately. Blake Bortles in Jacksonville, also with a mild sprain of his shoulder, says he's throwing around and looking pretty good, and so everyone's anticipating Blake Bortles to be a go in Jacksonville. But regarding both of these quarterbacks, what are our takeaways here? And if Andrew Luck plays, T.Y. Hilton obviously sees a boost.
Sure, yep. No question. And
T.Y. Hilton just popped up on the injury report, with groin injury.
I don't know how serious it is, so check the injury report on Friday. But if Luck plays for the Colts, he plays for me. And as far as Bortles goes, I started him over Drew Brees in one of my leagues, and I'm pretty confident that I will get a better level of production than the 16-plus points that Brees put up. Bortles, 19-plus fantasy points in 3 straight games, and the Houston defense is ungood, as Marcus Graham would say.
Ungood. Yeah, I'm starting Bortles. I'd start Bortles all day.
Bortles been on fire, man.
Been on fire. Obviously, if Luck plays, it's hard to sit him. But keep in mind, he's going up against the Patriots, who are just breathing fire right now.
Oh, my God.
This is not...
They are laying waste to people.
I mean, seriously. It's scary, but it's hard to sit him this week.
Well, luckily doesn't have to play against the Patriots' offense. He has got to play against the Patriots' defense. The defense has been, I don't know. It doesn't scare me, let's just say that. The offense has just been putting curb-stomping people.
Yeah, except...
But the defense hasn't been
It hasn't been, but you just have the feeling this is the week, Belichick's got something, man. He's got something for you.
Like the Patriots are going to put up like a 50 burger this week.
He's got something.
I think that's guaranteed.
This is like, I mean, I was going to mention it later in matchups that excite us, the revenge game narratives.
Yes.
Normally it's a player going against their old team. You just have to have that feeling that all of the Patriots are just going to want to wipe the floor with the Colts because of the whole offseason thing. So I don't know. Like, I know you said, Fabs, if Luck starts, he starts for you. Mm-hmm. If he's starting, I don't think I have him in any leagues, but you have a reasonable backup at this point because you've had to survive 3 weeks. I might still play that backup. I don't love this situation.
I'm actually excited about it. I think the defense can be had. The corners there aren't great. The whole defensive backfield there is not great. I think Andrew Luck, because he's a vertical thrower, I think he's going to love seeing that matchup. And forget about whether or not it's a blowout. Even if it is, that's more garbage points for Andrew
Luck. which is how the Patriots defense has been had a little bit. Tyrod scored a bunch of points on them in garbage time, as did Blake Bortles once the Patriots were up by a million. But I don't know. I don't know if I'd count on garbage time.
I'm expecting this to go full garbage time mode, and probably by the second half. I mean, I think it's going to get ugly. Yeah. I think it's going to get ugly quick. I think LeGarrette Blunt's in line for a good game. I think obviously Tom Brady is just going to go off. Adam Rank, being the crazy person he is, says Tom Brady's going to go for 700. That's fine.
He wants to see Norm Van Brocklin's record tumble.
Van Brocklin's come down.
Yeah, man. I like it. I mean, you got to like every single skill position player for the Patriots. But I'm telling you, you know, just the fact of the matter is, I think it's going to be a little bit of a shootout, at least in the second half. I like a lot of the Colts players, too. Speaking of the Colts, oh, the immortal Ahmad Bradshaw lives. He lives, Ahmad Bradshaw.
One more for the old guys.
Signed a one-year deal with the Indianapolis Colts. If you're a Frank Gore owner, you are quaking in your
I don't think you are.
I don't think you are either.
No, I think he affects Josh Robinson and those guys more than he affects Frank Gore.
He's change of pace because, I mean, he made his hay with the Colts in the past out of the backfield too, catching passes and stuff.
Right.
And the Colts just learned through their last couple games that if they feed Frank Gore, he will give them good results. They just need a depth and then somebody else to help change a pace that's not going to cough up the football every other time he touches it. Josh Robinson.
Unfortunately, Gore has not necessarily been the stickiest of hands as well.
That's been shocking.
Well, only when he gets around the goal line or whatever.
That's all.
Like, if Bradshaw's in the game in a goal line package, then I'm like, you got to be kidding me. But that remains to be seen. And, you know, Ahmad Bradshaw is not the most durable dude in the world either. So,
no,
you know.
He's not. No, he's not. Absolutely.
You know, I mean,
you're
this
absolutely
guy's
right. I guarantee you, you will see Ahmad Bradshaw in a goal line package because, for some reason, they like to throw when they get down there. Andrew Luck's not afraid to throw it, man. Pep Hamilton's not afraid to throw it when they're first in goal. So, I don't know. It's surprising. I'm shocked that you guys aren't worried about it if you're a Frank Gore.
No, not at all.
No.
Man.
Nope.
If I'm a Frank Gore owner, I'm on high alert. I think Ahmad Bradshaw is going to step in and be a very productive back. That's just my thing. All right, let's talk about in Dallas, Christian Michael seeing first team reps. He's seeing first team reps.
Woohoo!
Lot of reports out of there that the coaching staff not necessarily happy with the production or maybe the ball security of Joseph Randall, and they haven't liked what they've seen from. I don't want to call him Old Man McFadden, but he looks like Old Man McFadden out
there.
Well,
because he is. He's just.
Well, I mean, you know, it's not like he's like. It's not like he's Frank Gore.
He's not that old, but.
McFadden's been in the league like 11 years now, right? No. I was missed it. No, he was the fourth pick in 2007, right?
I don't know.
It just seems like he's been in.
I was thinking 2000.
He's not 30 yet. He's not 30.
Well, yeah, he came in when he was young.
He's like 27 or 28.
I think he's 28.
Anyways, but no, Christian Michael's in there now. He's supposedly a very explosive back. Obviously, Dallas liked what they saw when he was with Seattle, although pretty limited reps there.
Well, yeah, it's Christian Michael is just like the king of off-season hype and like, this guy's going to be great, and then we never see him.
I mean, he's a great athlete, and we saw that in college, and we saw that at the Combine, but he just hasn't translated to on-field work.
I mean, Christian Michael is like Winter in Game of Thrones. Like
he's coming.
He's coming at some point.
Well,
maybe seven seasons.
But
from
Winter
now.
Already came. Now it's here. So
right,
maybe
so
now he's here.
Now it's time. Now maybe. Winter came in Game of Thrones. Christian Michael can actually see the field.
All right, let's give the people out there some help here because I think Christian Michael's out there. If he's on waivers,
pick him up.
Go get him.
Pick him up.
Go get him.
If he's a free agent, go pick him up right now. That's fine. But if he's on waivers. Fab budget waivers, how much are you spending? Is he worth a number one priority?
No,
stuff like that.
I don't
not a number
that.
One priority, but I'd spend like 10 to 15% of my fab budget on him because the Dallas backfield has been very uninspiring right now. Like Joseph Randall has had a putrid yards per carry average aside from his like three big runs against Atlanta. Darren McFadden's not getting it done. They lost Lance Dunbar. They need a spark, and it could be Christian Michael that comes
in and
runs away with it.
You know what I think it is with Joe Randall? Is
he's
that
not good?
No, I think he's a good running back. I just think he's a knucklehead. I mean, you go back, and that was the one thing that concerned me about Randall because
didn't have his indiscretion at Dillard's. Really.
Yes,
well, I mean,
about a year
right.
Ago.
I mean, he had the whole
trying to steal underwear or whatever
thing, you know. And then I mean, and then the whole situation with Garrett tells the running backs don't extend the ball over the goal line with one hand. Then he goes out and does it. Then he gets benched. I think he's a talented player. I mean. Sometimes it's the same kind of thing as like Cordarrelle Patterson. Sometimes guys are very talented, but they have 2 cent heads, and Randall could fit into that. He's had every opportunity to take over that role in Dallas, and outside of that one huge game against Atlanta, he's really not been able to do it.
Yeah.
Dare say he's left some meat on the bones.
Yes, he's left some meat on the bones.
Indeed.
Last note here, we'll go back to Pittsburgh. How about Martavis Bryant? He was activated. He's no longer in the injury report.
Hooray!
If Michael Vick is playing,
still start him.
Oh, yeah.
Because the one thing Michael Vick can do is drop back and heave it deep. You saw what he did with Marcus Wheaton last week. So insert Bryant for Wheaton.
Yeah, look.
And pray for the home run.
Marcus Wheaton actually got open. Martavis Bryant can get open on a regular basis. They'll take some shots.
Okay.
He's a fun wide receiver three. YOLO flex play.
I mean, he's definitely a DFS guy. You throw him in there. You hope for the big play. And, you know,
he'll probably get you 22 points
but
or two points.
That's the
right,
whole point.
Exactly.
I actually think he's a bad DFS play because of the PPR format. I mean, unless you think Martavis Bryant's going to catch two long ones, which is totally possible.
Very possible.
Martavis Bryant. But I just am scared about the all or nothing approach there.
I mean, he's what's referred to as a punt play, like because he'll be super cheap, so you can get other guys in your lineup, and you put him in there and
for
cross your fingers.
All right,
hey, breaking news here, guys.
Please,
oh boy.
Sports Illustrated just tweeted out that the new Star Wars: The Force Awakens trailer will debut
today
on Monday Night Football.
Oh.
Do we have any Star Wars music back there, Gelhart? We've
no,
got to
I don't
have
right
something.
Now.
Oh, my goodness
something.
Gracious.
I don't want to pay. I don't want to send my paycheck to John Williams.
Wow. Now.
I could just hum some for you.
Right. You got a New York team. You got the New York market. You got an NFC East battle. And then you've got the Star Wars trailer.
Uh-oh.
That thing is going to do ratings.
I like it.
Ratings.
I like
That's
it.
Like,
wow. There was I'm excited.
It was back in the day. What was the movie?
How
I can't
dorky
remember.
Are we, Mark?
But there was actually a movie that saw a huge uptick in its box office gross back when episode one was coming out because they were putting the episode one trailer into it, and Star Wars fans went and bought tickets and
for
then
that
left
and then
after
left
the
after
trailer.
I do remember that.
The studio
that
was like, wow, this is great. It was like Meet Joe Black or something. They're like,
right,
look at these ratings. And they were like, no. Everybody
no
left.
No one's actually watching you.
They paid for the trailer and then walked out.
Yep.
Wow. Pay for the trailer.
Okay. I know.
That. All right. Sorry to take us off the rails, but I mean, you know, when you've got four dorks like us who love
like
Star
it.
Wars.
Breaking.
That is breaking news.
News.
And it has an NFL
spin. But I think that's the end of
spin to it.
That's the end of the headlines. It's the debut. You asked for it. You now have it. Marcos is a man who doesn't scan the waiver wire. The waiver wire scans him. Miguel is a man that has never used his fat budget. They are the most interesting men in fantasy. Give me an interesting stat, Marcos.
Blake Bortles only throws interceptions on odd number weeks in 2015. Start him with impeccable confidence on Sunday.
Miguel.
Josh McCown. Playing on teams with CB, as their initials, is a fantasy superstar. But I still won't start him this week against the Denver Broncos.
Marcos.
All of Thomas Rawls' rushing yards have come versus teams with animal mascots. Good job, Packers. Good luck, Panthers.
Panthers would destroy Seahawk in a battle. But I'm still not starting Cam Newton in Seattle. No thank you, Chico.
The New York Giants are undefeated when Rashad Jennings runs for more than 12 yards, but fewer than 52. Game plan accordingly, Tom Coughlin.
Marcos and Miguel, dude. They are the most interesting men in fantasy.
Are we done?
That'll do it.
I had something else, and then it was over.
Oh, you have one more?
No, forget it. I had one more, but yeah.
Oh,
boy.
Well, I mean, Miguel just left.
Yeah.
So what happens is he comes into the studio quickly with Marcos.
Yep.
And then they
switch spots, basically.
Kind of quick hit.
To the mariachi band.
I like
it.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
But he did leave me a good nugget, though, that 17 fantasy points out of 47 that Jeremy Hill has had this year on non-touchdowns. So
that's rough.
He's not good.
But, yeah, so for those of you who read the blurb for this podcast episode, and we're wondering who those mystery guests were.
It was Marcos
E. Miguel.
I'm kind of amazed that we were able to fit a mariachi band in the studio.
Yeah, it got a little cramped. I was really worried.
So there actually is at Miguel Fabiano, like
there is a Twitter. Miguel Fabiano.
There is a Miguel.
Would that
Fabiano.
Be a parody?
It's a parody.
And there's another one too. I hate Fabiano. And they have me with like devil horns and, like, and my tooth is missing.
Yeah, we saw him climb into the fantasy handle mentions.
But that one is that one's very vulgar.
That one's not parody.
I see.
Not good. Yeah, that's
you know, unfortunately, I gotta ask the Miguel Fabiano Twitter handle.
Well, he just left.
No, but the Twitter handle to step their game up because all the tweets are in English.
For a while, they were in Spanish originally.
They did some in Spanish back in the day.
I'm just saying. Miguel Fabiano tweets in Spanish.
Right.
Step your game up.
Yeah, man.
Step your game up.
Step up your parody game. Mm-hmm.
You know what? I should I call him out? I don't even know. What is the...
I think it's gone now. I was looking it up just now.
Wait, Miguel Fabiano's gone?
No!
What a sad day. Pour some out for Miguel Fabiano. Twitter handle.
Is it really gone?
There is a Miguel Fabiano, but it's not the one.
It's not Mike with a mustache.
No. Wow. I think this guy's actually Portuguese or Brazilian or something like that.
He's a legitimate Miguel Fabiano.
Maybe I'll send out a tweet and be like, hey, what happened to the?
Where'd you go?
Yeah,
right. Is there a Marcos?
There's not a Marcos Grant. Not that I'm aware of.
Well, there might be after this podcast. ambitious young fan goes out and creates it.
We need a Marcos.
Oh, yeah, that was the debut of Most Interesting Men in Fantasy.
Most Interesting Men in Fantasy.
All right, should we get to some actual analysis now and talk about some matchups that we like?
I guess.
I
thought we were just gonna get at it.
Just fold it up after that.
Seemed like a walk.
The show has gone sideways now.
That seemed like a walk off to me. But
by the
way,
between now and the end of the show, Alex, you need to come up with some Star Wars music because
we do it. Okay, let's talk about some matches that excite us. We shall start with the WizKid. Talk to me about Eddie Lacy. Please get me excited about Eddie Lacy. I'm getting tired of seeing this guy. Run right into the line.
Well, he hasn't had room to run because they've stacked the box to stop him and have that is absolutely
true. No, it's not true. We just did next gen stats showing that he's got major holes that he is not hitting.
Next gen stats. Sorry, I don't trust the next gen stats at all. What I do trust is Aaron Rodgers saying too that the Rams stacked the box and challenged them to beat them on the outside and go vertically. And the Packers weren't able to do that, which is why both he and James Starks did nothing. However, Eddie Lacy's another week coming back from his ankle injury. He's got a good matchup this week against the Chargers, who just got gashed by Le'Veon Bell and D'Angelo Williams a few times he touched the ball. I think this is a good bounce-back game for Eddie Lacy. And also, we have seen this play out with Eddie Lacy before earlier in the season. I think, actually, he's like 9 yards off of exactly what he had last year at this point in the season before getting going and finishing the season as the sixth highest fantasy running back.
So all of that is exactly why. I mean, I agree with that 100%. I mean, this is a fantastic matchup. This is the one you've been waiting for. And I do remember last year we were freaked out after the first 4 weeks. And I'm looking at this right now. Last year we freaked out. Week 5, Eddie Lacy put up a 25-point game. And everybody calmed the heck down.
Was that against Minnesota? Can he play against Minnesota every week?
It was the Thursday night game right after you wrote Panic Room too, James. And
sure.
You were like, I'm done with Eddie Lacy, guys. He's finished. And then he just went and steamrolled the Vikings.
And who was that poor DB that
Robert Blanton.
Oh, my gosh.
He crushed him twice.
Destroyed him.
He crushed him once in the open field, and Blanton was the last man between Eddie and the goal line. And Eddie was
brutal.
Like, hop on, brother, we're going.
All right, so Eddie Lacy's got a good matchup.
I mean, Febs, did you have anything else in Stardom Sit'em off of Eddie Lacy, or did we pretty much cover it?
Basically, I mean, the Chargers' run defense has been pretty bad. Only two teams have given up more fantasy points to running backs than San Diego this year. So if Lacy doesn't do it this week, hit the panic button.
All right, buy low if he doesn't do it this week.
I'm trying to get him in our Celebrity League. Jerry O'Connell, who's going to be on the show today, has him, and we can't really put anything together. I've actually offered him Julio and TJ Yeldon, I believe, for DeAndre Hopkins and Lacy.
Oh.
I don't know if I'd take that
opposed. Yeah, come on, bro.
But I was going to say, if Lacy struggles this week again, buy low. The Packers go into their bye. He'll get healthy. They'll make some adjustments. They'll come out. This offense is going to score touchdowns. Like, nobody's going to dispute that.
At some point, he should turn it around. No question about that. I'm not as worried about someone like Eddie Lacy as I am about C.J. Anderson or Jeremy
exactly.
Hill.
Those running backs for the Chargers, though, are you concerned there?
I'm not going to start Melvin Gordon, but I would maybe flex Danny Woodhead, especially in a PPR.
Yeah, dude, he's in the top 10 among running backs in
sure.
PPR leagues right now. In our Dynasty League,
mm-hmm.
he's eighth.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, I'm at a point where I'm considering flexing Woodhead every week, even in non-PPR leagues.
Yeah,
he's just getting that much attention in the offense.
I agree.
Because your floor is like 8 points with him, and if he gets into the end zone or he has a good game, then you're feeling great.
Yeah.
So, but Melvin Gordon, the Packers have had a great run defense this year, and despite Todd Gurley rushing for 150-whatever yards against them, they played a darn good game against him. They bottled him up for like the first 26 carries. He had
right.
less than a hundy.
Then he broke,
and then he broke off the 55-yarder because
yeah.
Todd Gurley is like an otherworldly talent. So.
Speaking of running back T.J. Yeldon not practicing today, which means you're going to see Toby Gerhart and Denard Robinson
Shoelace.
In all probability this weekend. So if you have Yeldon and you need a running back, you might want to go out and grab Toby Gerhart.
He's not officially out, though, is he, T.J.?
No, but you need insurance, don't you?
Yeah,
sure.
So he'll probably be a game time decision. But typically, when a rookie doesn't practice all week,
it's no bueno.
I don't know. I know what? I think it's one of those situations. So I'd be surprised if he doesn't play. They said it's a mild growing issue. They don't want to test it in a practice, I would believe.
Mm-hmm.
And he's gotten so much work in the offense, Fabs, that I don't think he needs
but
that.
Wait, they don't want to test it in practice, but they'll test it in the game, and you're going to start him?
Yes, absolutely.
He's active?
Yes, absolutely. I think they're just trying to rest it is what I'm saying.
The percentage of players who don't practice on Friday and then play on Sunday is not good.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying.
Plus, Yeldon, while he's been getting a ton of volume, has been wildly inefficient. Like,
yeah.
all the metrics. Like,
his yards per carry.
Very not great.
Right.
Fantasy points
last week,
touch.
That touchdown catch saved him from doing nothing.
Right.
So
that would be my concern with Yeldon. There are probably better plays out there.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's talk about this Baltimore 49ers game. We talked about the running back situation there in Baltimore. But how about Colin Kaepernick? Surprised a little bit. Got off the schneid last week. Does he continue to do so against a Ravens defense that, boy, they are giving up yards and touchdowns in bunches?
Dude, I dig him this week.
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
know why, because he's done nothing to really gain anyone's trust from a fantasy perspective, but the Baltimore Ravens defense is horrible. I mean, they're giving up the second most points to quarterbacks. Over the last 2 weeks, they've given up over 21 fantasy points per game to running backs. They're giving up the second most fantasy points to wide receivers. You look at the Ravens and you think defense, but that was the past. I like Kaepernick. I would play Kaepernick over Peyton Manning this week all day
yep.
long.
Yeah, agreed. It's surprising what happens when you lose a guy like Nada in the offseason and then you lose Suggs to injury. It's kind of funny how that impacts your defense. They have no push up front, man. They've got no push.
Well they traded Holody.
Yeah. No.
They got rid of Pernell McPhee, too. They sent him over to the Bears, or I think they just didn't sign him, and the Bears signed him, and he's been phenomenal for the Bears. So they've lost a lot of good pieces. And then injuries haven't helped. I think Doomerville's been dogged. Their secondary's
yep.
been hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just they didn't start out in a prime position, and then now injuries and stuff have mounted, and they're a great, juicy fantasy matchup. Plus, revenge! Both wide receivers on the 49ers
yes.
used to
our
play
former,
for the Ravens.
Former Ravens receivers.
So yep. That is funny.
I like Bolden a lot
revenge.
This week as a three or a flex.
Hashtag analysis.
Revenge! I like it. The whole revenge game theme going through this podcast is great.
Watch this be the game Torrey Smith has like 200 yards.
Dude,
running.
You're guaranteed, right? It's, I mean, if Andre Johnson can do it.
That
right.
is funny. All right. How about it? What about Mike Wallace / Stephon Diggs?
Well, Wallace is dealing with a little bit of a knee injury,
yeah.
but I think he's going to be okay. If he plays, and again, you've got teams on a bye, you've got some injuries. As a three or a flex, I think he could do worse. Wallace had a good game in his last contest before the bye, and so maybe he's got a little something going on there. Charles Johnson, I mean, he's
just, yeah, Johnson's been injured and only has 8 targets.
He's not that
this
good.
Year.
So if you're going to start a Vikings wide receiver, clearly Wallace is the guy.
They're taking on the Chiefs.
And the Chiefs are horrible against the pass.
Horrendous.
Horrible.
They've been absolutely horrendous. I love this Stephon Diggs guy.
Yeah, deeper play, Stephon Diggs would be great because he was a rookie. Like him coming in, I thought he was a little raw, but he ran some great routes against the Broncos. And
I'm not surprised because at Maryland they asked him to do everything. I mean, they asked him to do everything at Maryland. He was extremely productive there. And I think he's just finally getting his opportunity.
Right. It took him a little while to get
his last game. He went for over 80 yards.
Yeah, it's six catches, I think, for 80 yards.
I think, you know, you talk about DFS. I think, again, just because of the matchup, I think because of the volume, and of course, given his tag there, I think Stephon Diggs is going to be tremendous value in DFS. I'd love to start him. And I will in my DFS lineups and kind of move forward from there.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really like him. How about Calvin Johnson, though? Does he – I don't know. Hard to trust Calvin Johnson.
This is like the first time I've had Calvin Johnson and start him and sit him as a start like in so long because it's been such a complete no-brainer. But this year,
yeah.
I mean, when Willie Snead's got more fantasy points than Calvin Johnson, then people are going to be looking for validation.
Right.
And I did validate that. Megatron should start this week. The Lions defense, the Bears defense,
yeah.
They've been better lately, but overall they've struggled. And Megatron has at least one touchdown in five of his last six games against them. So I'm playing him.
Marcus?
I mean, I don't know how you sit Cal. You know, it's one of the things where it's so hard to sit him because he's Calvin Johnson and he can explode.
He's got 30 points
any week. And the thing about wide receivers is that they are sort of immune to the struggles of quarterbacks, really.
Yeah.
I mean, Matthew Stafford could go out 100%. And have a terrible game, but Calvin Johnson could still go for, you know, 105 and a touchdown. So he still is one of the most talented receivers in the league, and at some point he's going to get it together.
That Detroit defense just makes me sad, or offense just makes me sad. I've been talking about all offseason and through the regular season as well, and I mean, I didn't think they were good. I didn't know that they were this bad.
Yeah, I didn't think they were this bad either. But
they played really well against Seattle that one game.
The Detroit. Offense was
their meh. Offense has been just horrible.
It's been awful.
Yeah, it's been really, really bad. All right, should we move on to matchups that scare us? Or
well,
Gelhard,
let's hit a couple of these real quick. Greg Olsen, is he the only person, like, I mean, on either side of the ball, basically, that you start in that Seattle-Carolina game?
I like the Panthers' defense because the Seattle offensive line is horrible.
Yeah.
I think that's a top 10 play this week among defenses.
Yeah.
Jared Allen dealing with the foot problem, but it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
I mean, their defense, even without Jared Allen, was...
And they're getting Luke Kuechly back,
ooh,
which is a big swing for them as well. That's nice.
Yeah, I like that defense this week in fantasy.
Speaking of defenses, the Jets, coming off a bye, getting Sheldon Richardson back, playing Kirk Cousins.
Hello.
In MetLife. Get him if you can. If they are a free agent, go get him. Fire him up.
Yep.
And expect hopefully 10 to 20 points.
Should be good. All right, let's talk about matchups that scare us. We'll stay in Seattle. Cam Newton, Jonathan Stewart. Nope.
Ted Ginn. Yep. Nope.
Nope.
Yeah, somebody asking me about Ted Ginn. I'm like, bro, really?
Yeah,
Ted
Seattle.
Ginn versus the LOB? No, don't do that.
Cam
Stop
Newton,
it.
Three career games against Seattle, one touchdown, three turnovers, sit him.
Yeah, for most of those games, too, aside from the one in the playoffs, before Cam Chancellor hit that pick six, they were all low scoring, too.
Yeah.
I think the one they played two or three years ago was like 12-6.
Seattle's
going to
be home, and they're going to be pissed that they blew that game last
week. I mean, they've blown a few fourth quarter leads, and
yeah.
So I think that defense is not going to let it happen again.
All right, how about Josh McCown? He's been absolutely on
fire. Didn't you hear Miguel Fabiano?
Believe.
No.
Marcus. Against Denver, though?
I believe.
No.
Yes.
I believe.
Hit me.
You sound like Bo Dallas right now.
I do. I believe. I mean, one, I've been watching this team. Don't ask me why I'm watching the Browns, but I'm watching the Browns. And they're doing a lot of different things. And the one thing I've noticed is that Josh McCown is not standing there with the football in his hands.
No.
He's getting it out quickly. It's a lot of high-percentage passes. This guy is in the top 10 in completion percentage this year because he's making a lot of safe, a lot of good throws. The Broncos won't have DeMarcus Ware. They may not have Aqib Talib. Yes, they are good. They're a very good defense. And I'm not saying that Josh McCown's going to go out there and get you the 25, 30 points he's put up the last couple of weeks, but I do think he can get you 16. I mean, he can give you 16, 17
points.
All right,
points. So let's play a game.
He can give you Drew Brees-type numbers.
Marcus Grant, okay. Who would you start, Josh McCown or Russell Wilson?
I might start Josh McCown.
Josh
not
McCown.
Bad call.
I might start McCown there, too.
Josh McCown or Peyton Manning?
Josh McCown.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Come on, dude.
Josh McCown or Cam Newton?
McCown.
Maybe McCown.
Josh McCown or Philip Rivers?
Rivers.
Yeah, Rivers for me.
Rivers.
Rivers.
Josh McCown or Eli Manning?
Eli.
Eli.
Eli all day.
Okay.
I mean, you know, at this point.
I'm just saying, you know.
At this point, you're playing the matchups, but yeah, no, Josh
McCown. Josh McCown or Joe Flacco?
Oh, Flacco. I mean, they're playing the 49ers. Let's not get crazy.
Okay.
I don't
believe in
him
against the Broncos, man. If you give me a good defense, boy, I would definitely tend to go the opposite direction. Denver's defense is sick. Sick good.
Yeah, man, but the Broncos but, can
hey,
be had.
I think a big thing will be Aqib.
Have they been this year?
I do think a big thing will be Aqib Talib. If he's in there, oh, man.
Broncos have given up 7.8 fantasy points per game to quarterbacks. I mean, that's sick. That's nuts.
It's disgusting. It's absolutely
crazy,
disgusting.
Dude.
But, again, I think a lot of that is based off of that secondary, which I believe is if they're not the best secondary duo in the league, they're certainly in the top two or three between Aqib Talib and Chris Harris Jr. They're just shutting guys down all over the place. And they've been getting good push up front as well. I mean, anytime you've got a good defense, they have to play in concert. And they have been, I mean, just orchestral in the defense.
Orchestral?
Nice use of the word orchestral.
Yeah, I don't even think it's a word. Actually.
Yeah, I don't even know if that's a word or not.
It's probably
But
not.
It sounded pretty good coming off the list,
it's
right?
It's only a word.
Not bad. Now, I will say this.
All right.
Denver hasn't really played a whole lot of good quarterbacks this year.
Yes, that is the one caveat to them.
Dude, they played Joe Flacco. He's elite.
So that's one thing that you could argue, and I could completely see the argument, but I'm a guy who looks at the trends and looks at the numbers, and maybe Josh McCown has the best game of any quarterback against the Broncos this year, and probably still only 14.
I mean, look, I'm saying like 16 points.
Right.
Like, he's not going to be bonkers. He's not going to be the top quarterback of the week, but...
But let's say you're dealing with the Tyrod Taylor situation.
Look, man,
Josh McCown me.
Josh McCown you. You know, it's better than Kirk Cousins or E.J. Manuel, anything like that.
And, you know, good Miguel point. Fabiano came in and said
okay,
CB.
What? CB. Cleveland
CB.
Browns.
Chicago Bears.
Chicago Bears.
So if Andy Dalton ever gets hurt.
Right, Cincinnati Bengals.
That's it.
Call him
again. After that, McCown's done. He's done.
I like it. You know, we talked about Megatron and the Detroit Lions. I do got to hit on this, man. Amir Abdullah. I mean, he's done at this point, no? I mean, I'm definitely – obviously you're benching him because he's done, you know, nothing. But
– I actually got to play him this week in a PPR league.
Ooh, really?
I have to. It's either him or Shane Vereen. I'm not playing Shane Vereen.
No?
He's had one good game all year.
In PPR, he's had two decent games.
Like week one, I think he had eight catches too.
Okay,
yeah. But then he
okay, so
disappeared.
Two out of five.
Yeah. And you're right. The three –
But he's got the three-headed
three
monster.
The three games he didn't play good, he played awful.
Mm-hmm.
Statistically, anyways.
Yeah. I play.
So I hear what you're saying.
But
against the Eagles,
Vereen,
you don't like Vereen alone. You don't like Vereen against the Eagles?
Eagles defense isn't that terrible.
Oh, man,
not that bad.
I'm not cutting Amir, but he's riding the pine until something changes.
Eagles have given up the fourth fewest fantasy points to running backs this year.
I also think part of the Amir Abdullah struggles is that he is doing way more than they anticipated him having to do at the start.
Because
of the year.
Bell's been
either hurt or bad, you know, and
he says he should be back.
Abdullah was supposed to be the change of pace guy. He was supposed to be kind of the Reggie Bush, catch the ball out of the backfield, give you a few carries on the edges sort of guy. Now he's being forced to kind of be the lead back. I mean, they've worked Zach Zinner in there.
Theo Riddick.
Theo, you know, but it's just, I think he's taken on a bigger role than they anticipated, and it's just not working out.
I guess what I'm saying is that in a 10-team league, you're not dropping Amir Abdullah?
Not yet.
Not yet?
Close,
he's
but...
awfully close. I think, especially if you do it, you can't be blamed for it because the way Theo Riddick is playing and the way they're utilizing Theo Riddick...
Well, Theo Riddick's had, like, I think it's some obscene number of his points have come in the fourth quarter.
Right.
Like, no joke, like, almost all of his targets have come in the fourth quarter.
Did he have 10 receptions?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, 10 receptions his last game. I mean, come on. I guess, like I said, if Theo Riddick is hogging up all those receptions out of the backfield, they're mixing Zach Zinner, Joique Bell's about to come back. Where do you use a guy like Amir? I mean, if you drop him, you can't be blamed for it at all. But that's just, you know, my take on Amir Abdullah. All right, how about Jordan Matthews? Monday night against the Giants. Do we like it? Do we not like it? Jordan Matthews has been...
disappeared recently.
I mean, we've seen on the next gen stats that there's been opportunities for Sam Bradford to throw to him when he's been open and he hasn't hit him.
Okay.
And the Giants defense has been really good on wide receivers this year. They're giving up an average of fewer than 19 fantasy points per game. So I'm in a situation where I have Matthews and I kind of have to start him, but I don't have to like it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of how it works. I mean, just watching that tape that was on Fantasy Live earlier this week or last week, when he's open, Bradford's not throwing it to him. And the few times he does throw it to him, he's dropping the ball a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like it's in his head at this point.
He's had a few drops. It looks like it is in his head a little bit. I'm worried about Jordan Matthews, but just the volume of targets that he gets, it's hard for me to bench him. I'll say this. I'll play him at the wide receiver too, and just hope for the upside. I guess that's what I'm hoping for from Jordan Matthews at this point. If you drafted him hoping he'd be a sneaky wide receiver one, really
am I the only one who finds it weird that he's a slot receiver?
No, that's where he thrives.
I know it is. It's just I don't know. Maybe I'm used to seeing the shorter slot receiver. Well, you know, he's like a 6'3", kind of lanky guy. Just seems like he would excel more on the outside.
He doesn't have great burst off the line. That's the problem.
Well, this is what the Saints did with Marcus Colston for a long time, and the Cardinals have done with Larry Fitzgerald, is put this bigger guy in the slot who doesn't have the burst, but he can get open in the slot with some quick twitch and stuff, and they make hay.
If you're matching up a linebacker on him, he's going to be able to beat a linebacker all day long. It's just, can he get downfield? It's hard unless you scheme it properly, right? Like play action and trying to get sneaky with it. But is he going to just straight go vertical? That's not really his game.
Yeah.
Jeremy Hill. Look, Miguel Fabiano talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of all the touchdowns that he's got.
30 points from touchdowns, 17 from non-touchdowns.
He's Matt Asiata 2.0, man.
Yeah, and Gio Bernard's the better option.
Wow.
Remember, back in the spring season.
Statistically, is that not true, though?
Statistically, yeah. I know, but that was rude.
Well, see, that was a gut punch
Asiata,
right there.
Asiata can catch the ball out of the backfield pretty well, too.
So can Hill. But he doesn't do that.
They just don't
that
throw
way.
It to him.
Statistically, I'm saying.
Oh,
look,
man,
talent-wise.
That was ruined my Friday.
That was a gut punch, James Coe.
I'm just saying.
You're not wrong right now. It hurts, though, because Jeremy Hill's a much better player than Matt Asiata.
He is. He absolutely is. I love the talent level, but man, what's happening? I don't understand.
Jeremy Hill fumbled a couple of times.
That was it.
His yards per carry average, Alex, I don't believe
is not great
super,
right now.
Super good. And Giovanni Bernard's a more versatile back. That was the one thing I was worried about in the preseason. I liked Jeremy Hill. I thought he was worth a late first, early second round pick. But everyone forgot about how good Giovanni Bernard was. And now they remember. Because it's right in front of their faces. And Gio is seeing a bigger percentage of the backfield touches than the LSU
product.
It's
huge. And snaps. What's crazy is I thought it might even out, because last year where Bernard was hurt and Hill had so much at the end, I was like, they're both talented. It'll probably even out. But instead of like regressing to the mean, it's regressed and Bernard has lapped Hill now, which is crazy. And Hill, there's nothing to say that Hill can't come back. He's still super talented. He's just not. He's not running the same right now.
If we're using the Eddie Lacy narrative, I mean, isn't this? Aren't we waiting for the back half of the season here for?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, I mean, you are. The one thing that worries me is, watching them the last couple of weeks, it's Gio Bernard who's on the field in those late game drives.
Yeah.
When they need points, when they need first downs, it's Gio Bernard who's on the field and who's getting the touches then.
Yeah, a little piece of news here too. Marcus just retweeted it out. Odell Beckham Jr., no practice today. That's not good.
He's got that sore hamstring. Huh?
So if you have OBJ, Ruben Reynolds not going to be available, but one of Marcus's favorite deep sleepers this
week,
Dwayne Harris, is now worth, I guess, a handcuff
also
for OBJ.
Isn't that crazy? It's a wide receiver handcuff. I love it. But no,
it's a Monday night game.
Monday night game. I like Dwayne Harris. Harris a lot.
He's been seeing a ton of targets now that they realize that they can put him in the slot.
And actually,
good things.
Randall's got like a hamstring too, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, and Randall's gross. I don't ever want to start with Randall.
The
thing I really like about Dwayne Harris is that
his long dreads. Those are pretty cool, dude.
Those are pretty cool. Yeah. He's got the Predator look going for sure, which is cool. But what I'll say is I like his hands, obviously, but the fact that he can run different routes, man.
He's good.
He's pretty versatile. I really like the way he looks in that offense. I think he's a perfect complement to Odell Beckham. And I really, really like what I've seen over the last 2 weeks regarding Dwayne.
He's been impressive. Real quick, we should probably dap and get out of here shortly. Don't start anybody from Washington. Just don't do it.
No.
The Washington unit there taking on the Jets, and the Jets are getting healthy and defensively, and they're getting all their guys back, and that's not a great
That three-headed monster in the backfield, Pierre Garçon by himself, like, James, don't throw
what's
James
the deal
and
with,
Crowder.
What's the deal with Matt Jones? He was dealing with a
toe.
Is he questionable? I mean, I'm assuming he will be, but has he practiced at all? We're going to have to figure that one out.
Even so, Matt Jones is not someone that I can trust. I mean,
well, it's not so much Matt Jones, but it's more of a if he doesn't play, Alfred Morris will see some more work, and so will Chris Thompson.
Jones was limited on Thursday.
All right, yeah, he'll probably play.
Listen, Alfred Morris could see a guaranteed 20 carries in that game, and I still wouldn't start him against the Jets.
True.
No,
Washington on the road as well, so the Jets at home.
It's just not a good situation for them.
Not a great situation. All right,
let's dab it.
All right, Marcos, hit me with the daily dap.
I got a couple real quick. You all remember the infamous Tom Brady courtroom sketch that made its way around the internet. Well, in advance of, obviously, of the Patriots-Colts plane, there is a bakery in Indianapolis that has turned that and put it on a cookie.
Love it.
So, nice. Fantastic.
You know, that's what you want to do is just make the Patriots more angry.
Now, does the sketch artist get, like, you
probably
know.
Not.
Some sort of possession for that?
Probably not. But my other one is, you know, we are all nerds here. And yes. Some of us are nerds of the comic book variety, Gelhar and myself.
Okay.
Yep. Found this on a website called coolthings.com, which... hopefully has
you
a lot of
not.
Cool things. Seriously,
no,
coolthings.com.
That's not a real website.
It is a book.
I'm going to pull it up right now.
It is a book about superheroes called The League of Regrettable Superheroes.
Oh.
It is basically a book about all the failed comic book superheroes throughout all the years. Some of the pictures are hilarious. I just kind of reading through it. Apparently there was one called NFL Super Pro. I'm really curious as to what this was about, but some of the images are hilarious. There's one called Funny Man, which is basically a clown, and he has a boxing glove that pops out of his shirt.
Nice.
And he's knocking out a bad guy. In the age of PC and fat shaming, Fat Man the Human Flying Saucer probably wouldn't sell very well. B-Man, who looks like a bee, apparently. Maybe he has the power to make honey. I'm not really sure, but...
I thought you were saying the letter B, but that's because I watched too much Sesame Street. I was like, B-Man? Is that from Sesame Street?
Yeah, no, B-Man. B-E-E-Man.
Oh, I see.
But, okay. Yeah, it's right. I'm very curious about maybe go picking up this book here about the League of Regrettable Superheroes.
Bro, it doesn't get more hipster than that.
By the way, I pulled up coolthings.com. The first item on there, it says, bathe in the glory of the Sith Lord with this Darth Vader handheld shower head.
Yes.
And the water comes out of Vader's mask.
Now they have one that's R2-D2 also.
Oh,
have you seen that?
I've not seen the R2-D2. I'd seen the Vader one.
Disney paid $4 billion.
They're going to make their money back.
They're trying to make their money back like this year.
They will have no trouble.
Oh, yeah, my God.
You know how many like Star Wars related shirts and toys I bought for my girlfriend's son already?
A lot.
I mean, and me too.
See,
well,
I feel like they should sell the Emperor's hand as a spigot, right?
That would be great too.
So like, yeah, like instead of lightning bolts coming out, right?
That
it's
would be
it's
cool.
water coming out of
that
the
That would
fingertips.
Be cool. Yeah.
If you will not join the dark side, then you will bathe.
Then you will bathe.
Oh my gosh. Nice. That was such a bad joke and it was awesome.
Well done. I applaud that.
I love it. Alex Gelhar, WizKid, hit me.
So I gotta preface this a little bit. I have a Pandora station that I listen to at work when I'm writing or at home doing some writing that's essentially like a movie score Pandora station, just because it's good to have that like epic orchestral music that there's no lyrics then, so I don't get distracted. And this guy kept popping up. His name's Philip Wesley. He's a solo pianist, and he had a lot of really good songs. So after like a year of listening to the station, I was like, I'm just going to buy one of this guy's CDs. So I bought one of his regular CDs and a Christmas CD, and he's just like a small guy, runs his own website. But it was cool. Like, he's great. So check him out if you're into like solo piano music or good things like that. And what was nice is when he sent me the CDs, he actually like signed one and said like enjoy on it. And I was like, oh, well, that's cool.
Wait, what?
He just said, because he self-distributes his CDs, I'm sure. So he just wrote like enjoy, like thanks for buying. And I was like, oh, that's really cool.
I like how we've used the word orchestral twice.
I know, I was realizing
it is a word. I looked it up.
Of course it is an actual word. Wait, you guys were doubting it was an actual word?
James Coe was doubting it was a word.
Oh, no.
I believed it.
Orchestral is a great word.
Sure. I'm not from this country.
But yeah, so Philip Wesley, solo pianist gets a dap.
Yeah, man. Wow, that was random.
I know. Like I said, I had to preface it because that's how I don't just go searching for solo pianists like to buy their CDs. But
that is
I found him through Pandora, and now he's got my monies.
Miguel, a dude.
First off, happy birthday to my buddy Kristen Leahy, who is the sidekick for Colin Cowherd's new show.
Okay. She also works on
today's
on
her
Ninja.
Birthday. You're right, and my real dap goes to Robert Zemeckis because he is going to predict the World Series winner.
Wait, what?
Oh, it's true.
It's true.
The Cubs. The Cubs have a shot.
Back to the Future 2.
Okay.
Robert Zemeckis. Right?
That's why I'm a Cubs fan this postseason.
I mean, listen.
Just for the Back to the Future.
I want nothing more than to that movie to have been true.
He did predict it would be over Florida or like a team with a Gator logo, but to predict
that
the
like
Cubs.
It was like Miami Snakes or something.
That the Cubs would win the World Series in Back to the Future 2, which came out, maybe like 87?
Somewhere
around
that.
There. And the Cubs haven't won a World Series in like.
Since 1908.
Forever.
A quadrillion years.
If that comes true, I mean, you got to put Zemeckis up there with Nostradamus.
That's true.
Right? You have to.
1989, it came out.
So 89, so do the math on that. How many years in the future?
It's been 26 years.
He goes and potentially predicts that the Cubs, who are the saddest fan base in the history of sports, win the World Series. That would be something else, man. That'd
saddest
be pretty good.
By the way, speaking of old school references, how about, I guess I'll just go ahead and give my dap to AT&T. Do you remember AT&T, those commercials that they had? It was Connecting the Future or something, I think was the tagline, or something along those lines. But they had a commercial line out where they predicted an iPad, FaceTime. They had predicted a bunch of these different technologies, but this was like back in like the, I think this was like the late 90s.
This is early 90s.
Early 90s.
I just found it on Vimeo. There's apparently a...
AT&T predicting the future Vimeo?
Well, it's now AT&T Connections, Vision of, or eight Connections, AT&T's Vision of the Future.
It's amazing. The technology looks strikingly similar to what we have now. Anyways, but that was totally a sidebar because I wasn't planning that at all. Your Back to the Future references just totally sparked my memory there. My other dap will go to – so one dap to AT&T predicting the future. Good for them.
Good.
They didn't cash in on it, of course, but that's fine.
Whoops.
But my other one will go to public libraries all across America.
Yeah.
Those still
exist.
Shout
out, man.
Heck yeah.
You know, the thing is, when you have a one-year-old baby, it's like having a new girlfriend, right? So, like –
That's a weird analogy.
All right, I'm leaving. I'm curious to see how you wrap it around. No, because it's like, look, when you first have a kid, right? Like you try to go do all these different things, right? So like you hit the zoo, you might hit an amusement park or whatever. Like you go to the same things, right? You go to the park. Okay, fine. It's like, after you have a long-term girlfriend, it's like you start running out of stuff to do. And I'm just saying, if you're a young parent out there, a young dad, a young mom, got a young kid out there, go hit the public library, man. I mean, they generally have carved out sections for little kids, which is cool. I just discovered that. I don't know why it took me this long to figure that out.
Because you're not a little kid.
That's true. So I took my kid to the library yesterday on my day off, and it was great. I had a good time. We rented out a couple books. And it's a great way to kind of, introduce your kid to more books and obviously it costs you nothing as well.
Also, did you guys go, you probably didn't because I know you live in the South Bay, but the downtown public library in LA is pretty sweet.
It's awesome.
Because you have to escalators that go underground. First time I went in, I was like, holy crap, this is like Hogwarts or something. Like, it's impressive. It was really cool.
And I will say this, especially in Southern California with the heat.
Yeah.
They don't mind blasting that AC libraries, man. If you're struggling for a little temperature cool off, go to the public library.
Trying to beat the heat for some free entertainment, go to the public library.
I love it, man. So, yeah, Daily Depths of Public Library. I feel like they don't get enough props. So
they
why?
Don't. No, good for you.
Yeah. So
I love the public library.
And by the way, you can always find all of the activities you could do at the public library online as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
So go online, go read a book, man.
Download this podcast, take it to the library, listen.
There it
find
is.
Some books.
There it is.
Bringing it all together.
All right, man. We're at it. Here. All right, for the WizKid from Wisconsin, Alex Gellhar, MG Marcus Grant, and the Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano. I'm James Coe. We are out. We'll see you.